And then, 11 years later, they gave Congress, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. Why? Why would they do that? Just 10 years before, 11 years before, they said it was an absolute tyranny. It's in the Declaration of Independence. And yet they gave it to Congress. And by the way, just to show you that a couple of days ago or weeks ago, whatever it was, when Nancy Pelosi impeached the president, which is constitutional, they've got the power to do that, then the Senate has the power to hear the charges and determine whether they should remove the president. And when Nancy Pelosi told the Senate what she wanted them to do and hold extra meetings and bring in new visitors, new guests, testimonies, she was saying to them that the Constitution is null and void. I have the power to legislate in all cases whatsoever, and I'm going to tell you how to run your affairs. Well, they do that. So they decided not to replace or remove Donald Trump from the presidency.
So, Ralph, let's back up here a little bit. The question was, are we living in a constitutional republic? And you said, no, we never have. And then you drew on some examples regarding the Declaration of Independence, 1776. Yet, what you're saying is that, was it King James there at the time in the UK? Are you saying that the United States has never actually become independent from England?
You can read the Federalist Papers. And James Madison, who wrote Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, said something to the effect that we wanted a pure democracy where we used to get together and decide, get the citizens together and decide what we wanted to do, and that's called a democracy. But as we started to grow, we couldn't do it. And they, the majority of them, decided what government would be. And he defined that as a republic. So when the Constitution says that they're going to guarantee a republican form of government to all the states, they're going to guarantee a republican, which is a representative democracy. We've never had a true republic. The Constitution has been declared null and void at least in 1938. I'm watching a DVD by pure coincidence. It says it was even earlier than that. But that's the date I used when they got the Constitution declared null and void and we're living under the Uniform Commercial Code.
Now,
this is heavy-duty stuff, and I'm not arguing. It's scary.
Well, that's right, and George Washington here. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but a quote from a Harvard historian, and see if I can find it here. Pardon the ill preparedness. Let's see here. To microphrase what a Harvard historian had said, Ralph, in that George Washington had owned. Shares of the George Washington had owned shares of the Bank of England during the American Revolution. Is that information that you knew?
I have no idea about that. No, I've never heard that. All I can tell you is I read the Declaration and the Constitution and the Declaratory Act. They've got absolute power. They've had it since it was written in the Constitution, 1787.
One of the arguments here.
78. I'm sorry.
One of the arguments I think here, Ralph, is that the Corporation of London, where the Bank of England is housed, is a separate sovereign entity from the rest of the UK, and that the British monarchy must ask for permission to enter the corporation and speak with the Corporation of London. It's something that has existed prior to William the Conqueror, and that William the Conqueror was unable to conquer it in 1060, and yet it remains a sovereign, independent system, medieval in that sense, apart from the UK, and it has a direct line to Rome. It's a Roman banking system, essentially, from what I understand, and it still remains today in 2020. So that it basically acts like the Federal Reserve, Ralph. It acts like the Federal Reserve in that it controls the policies, the foreign policy of the United States. In that sense, it's from a banking standpoint, it's controlling the policies of the United Kingdom. And so I think one of the views is that, like you're saying, to support what you're saying here, in that the United States, being a constitutional republic, is simply a facade because it's still controlled by these mechanisms that in itself actually also control the British monarchy, which is essentially what the United States came from, is the founders of this country were primarily from England. Does any of that resonate with what you understand?
I don't know much about the corporation, but let me make a point. You mentioned the Vatican. The Vatican is a separate state inside the nation known as Italy, and it's separate. Washington, D.C. is called the United States as a separate entity from the nation known as America. There is no such thing as the United States of America, and you can confirm that very easily. When the Founding Fathers wrote the Declaration of Independence, they said that
Pardon this, folks. I try to thread Rock in.
Was not capitalized because it's not a name or a noun. So the states were united in creating a nation called America. Then they created a Washington, D.C. District of Columbia, and that is called the United States. It's all defined in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. So there's the United States, and there's the nation known as America. And let me give a quickest, best example of that. I remember going across the border into Mexico. I live in Arizona, and we're 60 miles north of Mexico. And the people living in America could cross from Nogales, Arizona, on our side, into Mexico, into the Mexico side of the city of Nogales, and we could go shopping. But if we traveled past that and wanted to go south to Guaymas or, you know, where Mazatlan or wherever it was, we needed papers. But once we were allowed, we were to get into Mexico. As long as we stayed in Nogales, we were free to, we didn't need a passport or a visa. We just brought our money and shopped and spent it. Now we're coming back into the nation known as America. And my mother, my brother, my grandmother, and I, five of us, my father, and we were driving the car, and this is back in the 60s, across the border. So my mother told my grandmother, "Grandma, when we get to the border, the man in America is going to..."
All right, pardon this, folks. There is a technical glitch here. Yeah, I'm here, Ralph. I'm sorry. This is abnormal. We're experiencing some issues here technically. Please pick up with your grandmother in Mexico. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So my mother told my grandmother that when she was going to be asked, the man asked each one of us individually, "Where were you born?" My grandmother was born in Poland. She gave up her Polish citizenship and became a citizen of the United States during the naturalization. So don't say Poland, Grandma, because he'll ask you for your papers, and if you don't have your papers, you can't get back into America. So my grandmother lied and said she was born in New York. Well, she wasn't, but anyway, she was able to come back in. Now when you cross the border from Mexico into America, they ask you, "Are you a citizen of the United States?"
Yeah.
Well, how did we do that? We were tricked. All of us were tricked. because the United States is only Washington, D.C. And I'll give you my own personal testimony. Little Ralphie, when he was a senior in high school, I sat in a class called Civics. We're going to learn about government. Oh, that's a nice idea. We should know that. So the lady came from the Social Security Administration and said, I'll make it brief. You're all seniors. You're going to graduate. And when you do, you go out for your first job. You're going to be asked for a Social Security number, and you don't have one of those. You fill out an application.
Yeah.
Who you are, where you live, how old you are, what schools you went to, what, you know, what you did in class, whatever they want to ask about you for their records. And they're going to ask you for a Social Security number. So come into the office, and we'll get you a number. So we all walked in there, and the question was very simply, are you a citizen of the United States? And
yeah.
We are not. We're a citizen of Arizona or New Mexico. I moved from Arizona to California, so I became a citizen of California. As long as I'm inside the state nation known as America, I'm a citizen wherever I go, but of that state. So we all said, yes, of course. We were born, I never was born in Germany or Czechoslovakia or Brazil. I was born in the United States. That means I was born into Washington, D.C. And the Washington, D.C. has the absolute power to legislate in all cases whatsoever. There is no law requiring any of us to get a Social Security. In which they admit it's voluntary. But we all said, and once we said, we signed a contract that we'll pay income taxes and Social Security. We were fooled. We were conned. Now, you can try to get out of it. I don't know that people can. That's the problem. Once you sign a contract, it takes two parties to dissolve it. One party can't dissolve the contract. So we're citizens of the United States. See how we were tricked? There's no law. There's no law requiring us to pay income taxes. There's no law. When you fill out your 1040, it says, who must pay the taxes? Citizens of the United States. Well, that's us. I tried to get out of it by going on jury duty. I worked with the lady of the form. The first question was, are you a citizen of the United States? I said, no. I said, I'm a citizen of the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
And if I move to California, I'm a citizen of California. I'm not a citizen of the United States. So she said, well, back, you know, you're not everybody. And I said, well, no, I'm not. Well, I had to go in, and I was hoping to go meet the judge. And the judge's going to say, who are you, Ralph Everson? Yes, sir. He said, where do you live? What do you do? And I'd say, Your Honor, I would like to ask a question here, if I may. He said, yes. I say, Your Honor, I've got a form here. That I had to fill out the papers about this jury duty thing, but I'm not a citizen of the United States. Now, if I signed some contract and I didn't know or something, then you can produce that I'm a citizen, then I'll serve on your jury. But barring that, since I'm not, I can go home. Well, I never got the chance, unfortunately. Our jury pool was called, and we sat down and outside the courtroom, and the judge and the jury, not the jury, but the judge and the two attorneys worked out a plea bargain, so we didn't have a chance to hear the case, so I was allowed to go home. But I would have tried. I was going to try to establish the fact that I'm not a citizen of the United States, but I am, because I answered the question. When I walked in to get my socialist, I call it what it is, a socialist security system.
So, Ralph, only those living in Washington, D.C. are citizens of the United States?
That's correct. That's why, by the way, our congressmen and senators have their own Social Security program. They're not in Social Security, they got their own. They've got their own retirement program. That's why, because the United States is like the Vatican, or as you said, the City of London. The City of London is a separate corporation, or whatever it is. I don't know. I leave it. the government, Washington, D.C., is the seat of the government of the United States.
Go ahead, Ralph.
There is no such thing as the United States of America, but we all call it that. But we're lied to, we're conned. Now try to get out. I know people have tried. Some people they claim do. I don't know. I'm not willing to risk it. Because if you don't cross every T and dot every I, if you got to bat 100, Ted Williams, probably the greatest hitter of all time, batted 400, which means 60% of the time he didn't get a hit. But in getting out of the Institute of being a citizen of the United States, you better have better bat 1,000.
Yeah, Ralph. So what is the New World Order? What is this?
It's a complete reversal of everything. You can read the books written by I can't remember his name. There's a book out there which claims to have been written in 50 or 60 nations already. And he tells what it is. It's a totally new civilization where there'll be no more families. No more religion. Hogwash, you say. No, that's what it means. It's the Novus Ordo Seclorum. Our founding fathers committed it to us on the back of our dollar bill. You get your dollar bill out, we got two circles. One circle, both of them are the Great Seal of the United States. Every station in the country has, traditionally it was going back to kings. Kings would sign, say, a treaty between A and B nations, and they would fold it over and then seal it with wax, drip wax on it, and as it starts to harden, the king would stick his ring into the wax and then pull it up, and it would be embedded because it would now form in that shape, the exact opposite. Where there was highs, there'd be lows, etc., and where there were lows, there'd be highs. So that if the next government got the seal, the contract, they would know whether it had been opened. Because if someone had opened it in between A and B, then the seal would be broken and you couldn't recreate it.
Yeah.
So it became a seal. It was the way that the king certified that he was aware of the law and he proved it. So it was called seal. Well, we have two circles. What's the second seal for? It conceals our future. The first question is, why do we have Latin in America? We never spoke Latin. We always spoke French, or maybe French. We spoke English, and some spoke French, but English is our language of the nation, not Latin. But it translates into announcing the birth of the New World Order. So when George Bush talked about it, he was fulfilling the contract made when they created the Great Seal of the United States on the back of our dollar bill. Take that dollar bill out.
Yeah.
With a microphone and ask people, Flipper, you get a dollar bill out, tell me what you know about all those symbols back there. All sorts of numbers, 32, 33, 13, and 9. They're hidden all over. There's concealed numbers all over that dollar bill. And what's this eagle all about? Why does it have 9 tail feathers? Why does it have 32 feathers on one side and 33 on the other? I'm telling you, this, we could do an hour program on the back of the dollar bill.
So well, we will.
To explain what all those things mean. But notice what it said, announcing the birth of. Notice the I is still above the pyramid. That I was going to land. Notice they were admitting it was a baby, announcing the birth of the dollar. Well, it was supposed to occur on the 1st of January, the year 2000. That date was cast in concrete, but they didn't pull it off. In 1985, I toured the country in 31 states and 91 cities talking about watch the year 2000. On January the 1st, the Novus Ordo Seclorum will become an adult. It'll assume its rightful place. The eye will land symbolically on the pyramid, and then the New World Order, with no government, no freedom, no rights, nothing, will start to exist. Well, it didn't happen. And even today, 20 years later, I cannot understand why, because it was cast in concrete. It should have happened. It was planned to happen by our founding fathers. So we beat them. We beat them once in a major way. We're getting the New World Order under the table, slow and steady, but that, slowly but surely, we're overcoming that. We're creating a new system of government with Donald Trump. He's doing a great job of saving this country.
Yeah, Ralph, this is truly mind-boggling for, I think, a lot of listeners to listen to this. Where does this incept from, Ralph? Is this you mentioned? Well, we both have mentioned Rome. We both have gone to the Vatican. Is that the engine that's driving this? Where does this incept from?
Well, let me just say it this way. When I wrote The Unseen Hand in 1985, I thought it was the bankers. They wanted control of the money system, and which they do. They want that. In fact, they've got it already. They've already got control of the money system through the central banks all over almost every nation has a central bank. But I did not know personally until about 3 years ago where the top layer is. And I'm only going to just say it briefly and then get off the subject, because for me to cover this, I will need several hours to show you. But I do know where it is. It's a group called the Great White Brotherhood. The word white does not mean a race. It means the white of light. The Great Light, meaning Lucifer, the light bearer. It's run by Lucifer. There are 9 individuals. Now, there are people who support it, who've been there and met these people and talked to them and got their names. We know where the headquarters are. It's not in Switzerland or Berlin or New York City or London. It's in Tibet. Why in Tibet? Oh, that's another story. It would take an hour to explain. There's one last quick interesting thought about this. If you go to the other side, the eagle side of the seal, there's an eagle. And that's fine. That's nice. A beautifully drawn eagle. And it's got 9 tail feathers. Now, I don't know what they call people that are bird doctors, but I'm not one of those. But I know this. Eagles don't have 9 tail feathers. They've got 10 or 12 or some other number. I forgot. I think it's a dozen. But this one has 9 because the Great White Brother has 9 members running the world. So the tail feathers direct the control of the bird. If the bird wants to go up or down, it raises or lowers its tail. Right or left, it moves it. Not the wings. The wings don't control the flight of the bird. The tail does. So the 9 in our symbolically on the back of our dollar bill means those 9 tail feathers are controlling the flight of the bird called America. Well, who are the 9? The Great White Brotherhood. And our founding fathers knew it.
And this is...
I go further now. It starts getting hairy and scary. But just leave it alone. Let's save this country. And when we do that, we'll get rid of this Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Okay, so Ralph, let's transition to that as we've got a few minutes remaining. And Ralph, we'll be inviting you back on the program. You are obviously a plethora of information. Let's get into that for a few moments, Ralph. How does one an American as we're known Americans? How is this country saved? How does this country get saved?
Well, let's say it this way. They're going to try to change it. If I may say it this way, let's come in the back door. Our government, in the Unseen Hand, I documented this. Our government forced Chiang Kai-shek to no longer fight the communists in China. Chiang Kai-shek was the first elected official. He wasn't elected by the people, but he was elected by representatives of various organizations that were created by people. And he took that power up, and he was going to create an American-style government in there. And, of course, the Congress said, no, you're not. So we stuck and decided to stick with Mao Tse-tung and Chiang Kai-shek. So we were the ones that disarmed Chiang Kai-shek. He ended up with whatever army he had left into Taiwan, a bunch of islands, or maybe one island off the coast of China. Fortunately, there was a place like that, so Chiang Kai-shek was able to flee and take his government with him. And by the way, in the UNCNN, I compared the gross national product of this little tiny little island to being about 8 times what it was in China with millions of people, or even billions. Little Chiang Kai-shek gave Taiwan a legitimate, true republic, at least as close as you can get. They probably have it better than we do. And in the is a branch office of the conspiracy. They do what they are told to do. They know that. We keep them in power. As long as they agree to do what we tell them, not the American government, but the people controlling our government as well. So now, when they talked about China getting nuclear weapons, I've been saying ever since I heard that, they'll never get it, and they haven't yet. Oh, the North Koreans are going to get nuclear weapons? No, I've been saying they're not going to. And sure enough, they haven't. India and Pakistan had a threat of a nuclear war. Neither nation has nuclear weapons. No other nation in the entire globe has nuclear weapons, and no one's going to get it. They'll never get it. Only the United States has them. And the reason they do that, and easily to prove, is let's take David Rockefeller as being one of the nine that run the world. He doesn't. He's very powerful, or was, because he's passed on now. But let's just use him as an example. Why would he allow, if he's in charge of the world, why would he allow some nation to build nuclear weapons that would blow up David Rockefeller?
Right.
If you're in charge, you're in charge. And he's in charge. So he says, North Korea, you're not going to get nuclear weapons. And if you do, we're going to. Conspiracy controls the world already. And we're going to take it away, get back to what a true constitutional republic is. So these nations are, and I'll give one more further example. I've got a DVD, it's 4 hours long. Only the U.S. has nukes. Please sit down and watch it. I'll prove it to you. It's documentable. They don't have it. Russia has never exploded an atomic bomb. Oh, no, we know they. Oh, no, we don't know they did. They don't have them. They don't have them. They didn't have them in the Cuban Missile Crisis. They don't have them now, and they'll never get them because David Rockefeller, an allegory, meaning this conspiracy, says we're not going to let you have nuclear weapons. So they don't get them. Only we got them. And that's the way we use them. We use it as a threat. The nuclear weapon threat, the Cold War was a complete fraud. Russia never had a weapon, nuclear weapon, and they'll never get one, and they'll never have one, never build one, never exploded one. That's all a lie. It's all documented in my DVD. Only the U.S. has nukes. Find it and watch it. You're going to learn great, great truths in that thing. It explains I'm the only one I know saying this, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. It means I'm right and others are wrong. See, this is what Ralph Everson's done.
Ralph, this is remarkable. Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, I just sent up a brand new DVD. I just finished it. It's going to be able to be. Photographs. We didn't go to the moon. It's contained in the NASA photographs. I found it. You'll see them with your own eyes. If you don't believe me, go to NASA and find the pictures. NASA shows every picture they've ever taken. They've all got a big number. So I found them. I looked. It's only about 12 minutes long. it takes 12 minutes to prove we didn't go to the moon. We did not go. We did not go. Provable with pictures from NASA. It's easy to do. Well, no one else has done it, so I did it. And it's going to be hopefully uploaded here pretty soon. More of little Ralphie Epperson's sticking his nose where he's not supposed to be stuck.
Ralph, tell listeners where...
There?
Huh?
You just fell out of your chair, didn't you?
Well, it's not the first time that I've heard the moon being a hoax, moon landing being a hoax. Not the first time I've heard that, but it is the first time I've heard NASA having documented it. Ralph, would you tell listeners, and pardon the technical glitches here, tell listeners where they can find those DVDs and find your books.
Well, there's three ways to get my books. One, you can go to Amazon.com, and they've got a discounted price. You could go to your bookstore, you'll pay the full retail, or maybe they'll put it on a discounted price and order it from them. Or you can get it from me, and my website is just simply Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, dash, Epperson, E-P-P, as in Peter, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N, Ralph-Epperson.com. And even if you just go and browse, don't have to buy anything, I want you to see how serious this problem is. I produce them and I put them on. I don't have the ability to put them on. I have friends of mine do it for me. But there's 27 of them, and most all of them are on the internet. And two more, as I said, are coming up right now. They'll be hopefully uploaded within a week or so.
Ralph, we'll be bringing you back on the program. What a incredible conversation here. And with the coronavirus and whatnot, I am sure that listeners are going to want to get your take on how to deal with that. We've got to close up shop for today, Ralph. Would you please leave us with some parting thoughts and some parting words?
You know, I would agree that I want to say this. Donald Trump is doing an incredible job of saving lives with the way he's handling this. Did you know that when Obama had a virus H1N1, 20-some thousand people died, 150 million people got the virus, and they're complaining about Trump who's got 50 or maybe 100 people have died in America. But when I want to make a statement and start getting America to say this. The Democrats do not know how to govern. If you want proof of that, all of the major cities that have got criminality, especially blacks shooting blacks, all of them have a history of Democrats for 50 years. They don't know how to solve the problem. They just allow it to fester. And there are blacks in this country right now saying, we've had enough. Enough is enough. And that's wonderful. Start saying the Democrats don't know how to govern. They didn't solve the H1N1 stuff like Donald Trump's doing it. 20-some thousand people died. 158 million people got the H1N1 virus, according to the reports of the time. And so they didn't know how to handle that. They don't know how to handle the problem with the people living in the streets and the needles and whatever else. I'm not going to get too graphic how sick that is. And it's disgusting. And we're getting diseases that we haven't had for thousands of years in these cesspools where they're living on the streets all over these cities run by the Democrats.
Ralph, and ladies and gentlemen, Ralph, thank you very much for joining the program, Discussion of Truth. We look forward to bringing you back on in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, A. Ralph Epperson.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got 35 minutes of that. I will post that. I dearly apologize if you're tuning in and listening in and there is a glitch. I've not experienced this before. Again, we have been broadcasting remotely now for a few months. We are out of studio, and we anyway, so we're working on this. We'll be back in another episode here with Makia Freeman. This is Discussion of Truth. Be back with you.